Kia ora koutou, ko Sam Broughton toku ingoa, kōra mātua o Waikerekere. Hi, I'm Sam, the Mayor of Selwyn, and today you're joining me for the second of a five-part series unpacking the Future for Local Government review. Thanks again to Jim, Gail and Sanchia for all the work and effort that's gone into the review itself and the conversation with me on these matters. Today we touch on boundaries, sharing resources and system stewardship, some of the really gnarly stuff that challenges the status quo. As we talk and wrestle through this, we've got to keep front of mind that it's all about communities and how we contribute to a thriving Aotearoa for today and also for those that come after us. Let's jump into the conversation.
And the things we've been talking about here are about government walking towards us. It kind of feels like as a mayor locally and go, yep, let's get on with those things, because someone else needs to do them and it requires, as you said, someone else putting something on the table and letting a bit of trust and power go somewhere else. Another core part of your conversation, and this is where I guess the dedicated Crown department fits, is around system renewal. And that's where the challenge for me as a local leader, and I know for many across the country, thinking about what does boundary changing or what does sharing look like? What am I going to lose out of the space where I then have to be a bit more open and I have to trust others and release a little bit of what I've currently got? I might get back far more than what I release, but it's actually the letting go can be quite tricky. So can you talk us through your thinking around that system renewal? It requires some government to be involved, but we've got to change our shape, surely, from where we are now. And it's particularly, I think, if we're going to expect government to be more locally present, that's going to require housing, education, health. There's some welfare stuff that currently all sits and controlled from Wellington that I think locally we could do a whole lot better, but I don't think it's realistic to expect that the government's going to have over 70 bespoke relationships with councils as we currently exist. If we're going to get the best out of it, there's another number that's not 70, and I don't know what it is, but we've got to come together in some respects to have a mature conversation with the devolution of government responsibility.
Yeah, we've grappled a lot with, you know, what is best, and you know, the great about local is, as you know, we've debated much and received huge feedback across the country, is the great about local government is the local and truly understanding communities, the issues and what is needed and aspired for by at a community level. And the challenge, given all of the pressures that are coming, how do we ensure that resources are best invested for the benefit of community? And how do we bring the best of local government, the best of community, best of iwi Māori, the best of central government to deliver greater value for communities and citizens? And ultimately, you know, the system renewal component is a mechanism to start changing and changing some of the cultures and behaviours that go with it. And we have a sense that just giving more money and doing nothing else won't actually change necessarily the way we think, act and behave and partner. So the system renewal conversations took a huge part of the panel's deliberations. And it's not only system renewal for local government, and Gail might talk more to the system renewal for local government, but the system renewal, don't get us wrong, is going to be equally challenging for central government. That the concept of a new relational department for central government, which will require it to act differently among itself and then with local government, is going to be testing for them. They have initiated, you know, a positive green shoot was the regional sector leadership roles that had been created. The concept of that is good. However, the resource and commitment to it isn't sufficient to make any real difference. And so that said to us, combined with an under-resourced DIA, effectively, that they're not well placed to be able to lead the new type of system that is required for local government. Hence, the new relational department, and that relational department's got a role of aligning the outcomes and priorities, thinking about funding, and potentially being the brokers of place-based deals, whether that's city deals or similar things, to be able to support investment in local communities. They also, more than just as Sancho was talking about before, it's more than just being a financial broker. It's also being there to support research, development, innovation, showing genuine interest in communities and how that plays out in the role that both central and local government can play in a more objective way than perhaps we've seen in the past. So there's lots of opportunity for central government to do something different. And at the moment, most of the focus on reorganisation has been placed on at the feet of local government in the conversation since our reports come out. It's all about, well, what's that going to mean for local government? But just remember, central government are going to need to change just as much as local government is in the way it's both its system is designed and how it operates. But Gail, you might want to talk a little bit about local government reorganisation and some of the challenges that we had and thoughts about what's needed.
One of our biggest challenges was how to hold that tension between the local and local government and things at a more regional scale so that there can be the heft and the skills, capability and resources to do things that makes sense to do regionally. We were very clear we didn't want to come up with, oh, New Zealand needs 25 councils and they all have this around about this range of population and they look like this, and then impose it. That just didn't feel like it was going to.
It's good to hear, Gail. Good to hear. Yeah.
hold that tension between the local and what makes sense at a bigger scale. So that's why we've recommended that local government lead the reorganisation process and get together with neighbours and figure out what would work best to serve that area, those communities, and makes sense to them. And we've come up with two models, but if local government getting together has a better idea, then there's no reason why that couldn't be what follows. And we've heard really strongly from the government, and I think probably across the parties, that there's not really an appetite to do two local government, and this needs to be change that's done with and very much with the leadership of local government itself. Now, as Sancho said at the beginning, or maybe you did, Sam, about turkeys don't vote for Christmas. But so there will be, at the end of the day, need to be some decisions made that take into account all of the local work and make a decision if it can't be reached locally, but hopefully that's a last resort and not the first cab off the rank.
Yeah, well, I think too, often we jump to what needs to happen at a larger scale, but I'm not sure that we're achieving the most that we can at a real local level either. And I think about my own context here in Selwyn, you know, would a different structure actually help our towns of 300 to 500 be more connected and resilient in a way that they have a lot more control and autonomy for what goes on in their town rather than most of those decisions happening from a central space? You know, we try and use demographic data, we have a ward system to elect people from a local place, but actually I think something's been lost even in the changes since 89, where lots of us got way bigger. There's been towns that now feel that they've been forgotten. So I think that this is an opportunity to think about how we lift up local leadership in the conversation as well, and how councils, as we know them, devolve power and decision making and funding down too.
A lot of the change in system renewal is about mindset. It's the culture and the mental models that people have about what local government is. I often think, and definitely this was something I tried to cultivate when I worked at Auckland Council, was what's it like to be the yes council, not the no council? And if you said yes to everything instead of finding reasons not to do things, what would be the result of that? And I think for small towns and communities where sometimes all they need is just a small amount of resource, some encouragement, people that believe in them will share expertise and encourage them to carry out the aspirations of community members and citizens, great things can happen. But if councils stay very inward looking and risk averse, then all of that potential doesn't get realised. So I think from the 1989 reforms, we have to remember that was the height of the new public management system experiment in New Zealand, the neoliberal experiment, where organisations like councils and central government were encouraged to operate like businesses. Councils may, you know, they carry out business activities, but they're not businesses. They're civic organisations there to serve communities and citizens. And I think some of that culture shift is about reclaiming that and being really purpose-driven and clear that council's role is to serve communities, and it should be saying yes to communities far, far more often.
To that end, we think it's really important that there is a focus in the design of the new system to really take account of the local. And both of the models that we've put up have advantages and disadvantages with them. The thought that, if we just go for a few large councils and they'll all be controlled from the centre and we have a highly centralised approach, then we will fail many of the local communities. We need to see greater trust in local, a preparedness to ensure that the resources of the council are spread. So, having visible workforces across a region is really important for communities. It doesn't all come out of one city or provincial centre, and you only ever see somebody from the council when something bad's happened and they turn up on the door of some rural community. It can't be like that. It's got, we need to see a distributed workforce across whatever those new areas may be, and there needs to be trust, as has been said, trust in those communities and genuine authority to enable them to contribute in the way they're best able to the community outcomes. And we've developed a framework, which we've called a local first framework, for thinking about roles and what's best led where. And so much of it is best led at a community level. Many things can be led so well at a community level, and there should be trust and empowerment to enable that. We haven't been specific about what those subordinate mechanisms could look like, but there are many, and again, that needs to be part of the process of working out what's best for that community in the context of whatever is the local government form surrounding it.
Jim and Gail, in the report, you talk about the need to think of the recommendations alongside each other and to progress them in an integrated way, not just pull one out of thin air over here and another out of thin air over there. Feels to me like what you're talking about now is one of the many good times we should touch on that, because you could amalgamate, you could make a few larger councils around the place, but without things like the local first framework and other things that sit in around it, that's when we'll have an increase in mistrust and less local outcomes, where smaller communities could miss out. So could you just talk about how those recommendations interplay with each other and need to be in lockstep as they progress together?
Yeah. Happy to chat. We make only 17 recommendations in our report. There are a number of ideas and suggestions scattered throughout our report, which hopefully will get picked up on. But we don't see just ad hoc adoption of our recommendations actually achieving what we need as a whole of system. This is a whole of system change. And I suspect some will say, just give us the money. If you give us the money, all's fine. Well, it will certainly make a difference, no doubt about it. But it isn't the only thing that needs to change. And we've identified across the breadth of the system of local government a number of changes that we think must be made. If we don't, they won't have the collective impact that's required to have the sustainable local government we need.
Thanks for listening. I trust that this has been informative and helped you understand more about the review. I trust also that it's helped spark some conversations and thoughts about how you might implement change in your community. I really want to thank the panel for all the work that they've done. Jim Palmer, Penny Hulse, Antoine Coffin, Gail Surgenit, and Brendan Boyle. We really appreciate the effort, the thought, the research, and planning that's gone into this, and obviously all the staff that sit behind the review too. Thanks to Sanchia for being part of the conversation team. Really appreciate your thoughts. To all elected members and executives, anyone that works inside councils, thank you so much for what you do to make your communities awesome. Thanks to LGNZ and the team of staff there doing an amazing job to serve local government across Aotearoa. I look forward to listening and discussing and debating and implementing all the recommendations that have been put forward in this review. Thanks for listening.